This is the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I'm a big star, you know.
Listen live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play ESPN New York 98.7.
DCR.
I don't know if you caught what I just did to Rick. Rick Casper said, by the way, you got the open this morning. And his face was sheer terror for a minute. And he goes, wait a minute. Today's Wednesday. It's not Thursday.
It is not the Wednesday that Dave hates. It is the Thursday.
No, that's just being a bad teammate, Dave. I don't know why you want to bring us down to the gutter with you just because you've got to deal with the two dogs.
Well, why not? So we had the invisible fence put in yesterday, right? So you walk the dogs up to it, and there's supposed to be some kind of a light zap. Not these dogs. Right past it. And on the way back, they're eating the flags. It's like they laugh in the face of sanity. These dogs are crazy. I've worn the shock collar. It's not that bad.
Thanks. DCR.
If I could just open the door and let them out, I would.
I would do it. Bye-bye. Have a good life.
On 98.7 ESPN.
Yeah, they're out to get me, these crazy dogs. 6 o'clock hour, DCR with you, 98.7 ESPN. Time now for some Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. Stump Rothenberg at 6:45 this morning. And then at 7:35, one of our favorite guests, who's not on often enough, but the talented Ian Begley from SNY will join us at 7:35 this morning. So a jam-packed 2 hours leading you up to KJZ here on 98.7 ESPN.
I feel so bad, by the way.
Why?
Because Ella was listening to the show yesterday, and you were talking about your dogs. Mm-hmm. And I've said no to puppies so many times that her new thing is now. Is that, you know, but what, Dad, if we're driving down the road and we see just, you know, a dog that's lost, then maybe we could take that dog home, and that could be our new dog.
Yeah, you could.
This poor kid.
In fact, if you drive right by my house, we set up a time, like we have a wink-wink agreement, and you just drive it, and she said, oh, look at the adorable little puppies. Dad, can we take them both home? Sure, have them.
Look at these adorable puppies eating... Getting shocked as they eat the flags of the invisible fence.
Why are they eating the hood of the car? Oh, that's what they do. They're puppies. They're teething.
Rico, that's the one that's going to wear you down, though. Like, if Ella keeps pushing, you're going to break down.
You're going to break down.
Yeah.
She's so cute. Oh, I can't take it. Daughters, man. I'm surprised. I'm surprised I already haven't. But Cassie's like, there's no chance. You come up with the dog, there's going to be problems.
So thank God that Cass is like the voice of reason.
Yeah, because she knows. Because she knows the second I bring one home, she's like, when I first got my English bulldog, she's like, don't do this, don't walk in the pet store because I know what's going to happen. And of course, we went in, and you know, we found Roxy, and she was the cutest thing ever. And then I actually left. I'm like, you're right, I can't do this. And then of course, so we had to fly out. This is how crazy it got. Is we had to fly out that next day. We're going to Florida that next day, and I slept on it, and all I could think about was buying this dog. I actually drove to the place the next day in the morning, bought the dog, and then brought the dog with us to Florida.
You bought the dog and then got on a plane with the brand new dog?
So you resisted the urge initially to buy the dog.
Yep.
And you got out of there unscathed.
Yep.
And then you doubled back the day of travel?
I couldn't stop thinking about this thing. It was
you couldn't have gone back and say, I'd like the dog upon my return from Florida and put down a deposit or something?
Oh, it was going to be multiple weeks. I just figured, if we're going to get it, let's get it. And we can potty train it in someone else's house.
Well, part of it makes sense.
You staying with your in-laws on this trip?
Yes.
So they're expecting you, Cass, and were their children at the time?
No children. No children yet.
Okay, so they're expecting, hey, great, my daughter's coming, our son-in-law, we love that we're going to, and you show up with a brand new dog who has never known where to go or when to go?
They loved it. Cassie's dad loves dogs.
Yeah.
He's told me many times when he's, you know, when he decides he's going to retire, he wants to start, you know, move to, obviously to wherever I'm at, and then he wants to have like his own section where he can raise puppies. That's what he wants to do.
I could get him started.
You know what Sherry would do? You know what the kids would do if you gave those dogs away?
The kids would do. Sherry would look at me as like a conquering hero. If I the dogs. I'm not kidding you, Rick. Dogs are one step easier than newborn children. It is brutal.
Yeah, especially when you get two of them. Yeah, you're in one. Self-inflicted, though. This is self-inflicted.
I know. Listen, there's no one to blame but me. I agree. Let's go to Billy and Fairlawn. Good morning, Billy. You're on 98.7 ESPN.
Hey, what's going on, fellas? You think that
Julius Randle's going to have a breakout game. And, yeah, let's go Knicks today.
Let's go Knicks is right. Do I think he's going to – he better have a breakout game.
He needs to, though, doesn't he, Dave?
Yeah,
like, he needs to have a big game. Like, we haven't seen the regular season version of Julius Randle in this series. Like, at some point, he's got to step up, and he's got to lead the charge. Like, they've referred to him throughout the course of the entire season as the engine for this team, and yet he hasn't seemed like he's been able to get it going in this series. Now, he was a lot better in Game 4, but, I mean, he's got to be better in Game 5, Dave. I mean, in a situation where you're facing an elimination, backs up against the wall, in your own building – after the opposing team is trash-talking you for the last 24, 48 hours, like, this is the time to step up if you're a superstar. Like, if you're their all-star, then you've got to step up and you've got to be at your best. We need to see one of those 30, 10, and 7 performances from Julius Randle. It needs to go along those lines in order for the Knicks to have a chance to be able to win this game.
Is it wrong that I don't expect that? Like, I've seen so much of this version of Julius Randle when they're game planning for him that tonight, heading into this game, Rick, that you can hear right here, 7 o'clock on 98.7 ESPN, I don't expect what Chris just talked about, where you get a 30, 10, and 7 assist performance from him. I don't think so.
Well, you haven't seen it yet, right? I mean, that's the problem. I mean, that Game 4 was, statistically, it was better, but he's still not shooting well. I mean, he's shooting awful in this series. You need a big night from somebody. Like one of those two has to have a big night. Like, Derrick Rose has been consistent. He's had some rest, so I expect him to have a good game. R.J. Barrett or Julius Randle, one of the two has to have a big night. And I'm telling you what, the more I think about it, the more this Capella stuff we talked about in the first hour of the show, like, just go back. Like, forget sports. Take sports out of it for a second. Just as a man. Like, if someone is in your face and says, what are you going to do about it? What are you going to do?
You better come out swinging.
At that point, I mean, that's a fight. That's a fight. Like, because if you walk away in that moment, like, that's it. You don't. Like, that's it.
You can never get that back. You can never get that back. That's gone forever.
Go out there and win this game tonight. And that's Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. No contract and no compromise. Here's the question for the Knicks fan. 800-919-3776. And we'll get to the Mets as well, and a really tough loss last night. And that is, has the postseason, 4 games of Julius Randle, and you guys will start with the conversation, then we'll get to the fans at 800-919-3776, has 4 games of Julius Randle outshine the 71 games of excellent regular season basketball?
No, not in my mind, Dave. I mean, Julius Randle is a legitimate all-star player. Like, he got the most improved award for a reason. Like, he's taking that next step in terms of the development of his game, and you got to think that Tibbs and working with Kenny Payne has a lot to do with his progression. But, yeah, I don't look at the games that I've seen in this series as against the Hawks as a knock on the kind of player that Julius Randle is. I think Julius Randle is one of those guys that you look at as a 1B, a piece that you want to continue to build around moving forward. I didn't think that Julius Randle is going to be, you know, your quote-unquote Batman, but I think that Julius Randle is a part of the equation when it comes to trying to build a team that's capable of competing at a championship level. I honestly think that Julius Randle is a really good player. I've completely changed my opinion on him, and I'm not going to waffle on it just because he struggled in his first foray in the playoffs.
Yeah, I think we got to stop with all that. Like, the whole, like, oh, you know, what do you do now with Julius Randle? I mean, do you look to move him?
You give him as much money as you can on a contract extension.
Yeah, I mean, that's it. Again, we all knew
this. You pay him this offseason?
Yes.
You save your money.
Yes.
No, you save yourself money, actually, if you pay him this offseason.
Yeah, you pay him. Yeah.
I mean, this is the time to do the extension. If you're thinking about doing it, this is the time to do it, because you're going to save yourself some money. If he plays next season, like, if you decide just to pick up the option, then there's only $4 million guaranteed on this option. So if you decide, I mean, that's, you pick this up, he plays for you next year, then he has another season like he had this year. And maybe, I mean, once you get to the postseason, now that, I mean, you saw the jump from year one with the Knicks, where he was the number one guy and struggled, to now all of a sudden year two. We act like just because they had success in year one. This is year one. This is the first year under this new program. No one expected him to be in the playoffs. They're a 4 seed. Julius Randle was an all-star, and he was the most improved player in the NBA.
But
he's just
been,
after four
he's
games,
been
we're just going to
quit
on him?
Rick. He's been
but no one
awful
told you,
in the playoffs.
Dave, no one, it's his first time in the postseason. First time ever playing in the postseason. And on top of that, he's now the number one option. The whole goal of the Atlanta Hawks is shut down Julius Randle. We'll win the series. And he hasn't been good. Then you're going to quit after 1 year, 4 playoff games, you're going to quit on him?
I'm not saying I'd quit on him. I just think that it's certainly a discussion worth having right now.
I don't think it is. Awful. I think it's a ridiculous discussion.
So you think that you lock into him for whatever he's looking for and you build around Julius
Randle? It's not whatever he's looking for. There's a number. It's a four-year extension.
96, yeah, 4 years, $96 million, I think, is the contract.
No, it's 4 years, $106 million.
Oh, $106? Yeah. Okay. Yeah, okay.
Which isn't crazy. I mean, 4 years, $106 million. It's not crazy. It's what's that?
It's not crazy. I just don't think it's crazy to be really soured on Julius Randle right now.
Yeah, but I knew this was going to happen, though. I knew. This is why you guys are like, oh, why are you so aggravated? Because I knew this was going to happen. The media has set this up as you should be disappointed if they lose the series. Because the media is not paying attention to what Atlanta's doing.
But you can be disappointed the way Julius Randle has played in this series. I think to be disappointed that they are going to lose this series is unfair. But I really think you can be disappointed in the way he's played in this series. He's been bad.
Yeah, but I don't think that changes your long-term approach with Julius Randle, though, Dave. I think that's the point that Rick and I are trying to make. Like, you still are going to rely on Julius Randle moving forward. He's still a cornerstone of, you know, what you're trying to build under Tibbs and Leon Rose. Like, you're not moving on from Julius Randle. You're not looking at him as a trade piece. You're looking at Julius Randle as a foundational piece to whatever this team is going to be in the future. And, you know, being bad in four playoff games, his first four playoff games, is not going to change your opinion based on the body of work that you saw from him this year. It just doesn't.
With no point guard, by the way. I mean, look at this
Knicks
team.
He had no point guard all year, and he was sensational.
Oh, my God. How many times do you need to be told that the regular season is different than the postseason? How many different times do we need to tell you that?
Listen, I like Julius Randle, but I don't think it's this wild thought to think that he is severely underperformed and disappointed in this postseason.
How many? But we knew going in. Like, you knew
you
going in.
You expected this from him in the playoffs.
Did I expect him to be this bad? No, I did not expect him to be this bad. And he's been bad. But I'm willing to give him the benefit of the doubt. It's his first time, and it's his first time in the postseason. And the goal of the Atlanta Hawks defensively is shut down Julius Randle. That's all they're focused on. Who else is going to beat them? If we can shut down Julius Randle, we're going to win the series.
That's right.
Okay, and that's what they're doing. But you're also, I mean, you're discrediting what Atlanta's doing.
I think Atlanta's
look at this Knicks team. I mean, honestly, look at the Knicks team. And tell me, like, outside of Julius Randle, and Derrick Rose has been good in the series, but still, I mean, who are you afraid of in the series?
Nobody.
You don't have a lot.
Nobody.
Okay.
So you're going to heap this all on Julius Randle?
It's to think that this is the four seed in the Eastern Conference.
Okay, so he's going to be the whipping boy now. Because your team really isn't. Because your team isn't really legit. Like, they're not that good.
They're not that good.
So now we're just everyone's going to just focus on Julius Randle having a bad
season. But that's how it works, Rick. You know this.
Yeah, he is the star, so he's going to get most of the attention, especially when he's struggling. So I get the criticism coming Julius Randle's way, but I think fans have got to take a step back and look at this with clear eyes and recognize that the goal for the Knicks moving forward is to add talent. They shouldn't be looking to move on from Julius Randle just because he struggled in his first four playoff games. That doesn't make any sense. Like, you realize there are some real deficiencies on this roster, and when you look at these two teams side by side, they become more glaring. Like, when you look at the Atlanta Hawks, we're talking about what they have in their starting lineup, what they have coming off of their bench. The Knicks are nowhere close to that. I mean, not nowhere close. So, I mean, there's a lot of work that has to be done with the development of the players that you do have on this team and then continuing to add pieces. I don't think you need to be looking to move on from Julius Randle. That doesn't make any sense.
I mean, he's the heart and soul of your team right now, Dave. The heart and soul of your team.
I'm not arguing against it. I'm just throwing it out there that I'm sure this is a lot of people are of this mindset right now. I think he's a terrific player, and I would keep him, and I wouldn't even think twice about it.
Yeah, but I mean, that conversation has already started. I've heard it now multiple different times now. Oh, this has changed everything with Julius Randle. Now maybe you decide to move him for the star player and then put the star player with who?
Exactly.
With who?
Exactly.
Yeah,
with no one. You need to add to what Julius Randle has done for this team.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
You're absolutely right.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want. Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts.
Ian Begley at 7:35 on the Wednesday. Let's go to Isaac in Tuxedo. It's a fancy sounding place. Good morning, Isaac.
Hey, good morning, guys. I'm with you on this one, Dave. Julius Randle, I think, is a very good player, but I don't think he deserves a max contract, not yet. To me, he has to prove it another year. I don't necessarily discount this whole season, but I take it with a grain of salt. One is this year they didn't really have time to practice like that. So teams didn't really gear up to guard Julius Randle throughout the regular season. So he's kind of been a newbie on the block. Now in the playoffs, they get to focus in on him. Now imagine a full year, 82-game season where things are back to normal, where they have practices, they can watch film and be able to load in on him throughout the regular season. I just want to see him do it again. You don't get paid just because of one good year. He's only had one good year on our team, and really this is one superb year in his career. Because even when he was doing good on the Pelicans, he had Anthony Davis and Boogie Cousins over there helping him out. So, or he was playing a backup role. So it's completely different. So
Isaac, he's gotten better every single year. Isaac, here's the thing. So what you're telling me now is all of a sudden now, you know, this upcoming season is the one that teams are going to really lock in during the regular season? This is going to be the one? So this upcoming season is going to be the one that NBA teams decide, you know what, we're going to take the regular season really serious. Come on, man. Stop that. But that's what you're trying to weigh right now. Once the season is over, what are you going to weigh? Like, he's gotten progressively better each season. He had an unbelievable year for you with a lack of talent surrounding him, especially at the point guard position, right? Like, that's been a huge issue the entire season.
Mm-hmm.
So now you got to decide, is this an anomaly? Is this one season an anomaly? Or is this the player that Julius Randle is moving forward? Because last time I checked, you're trying to accumulate talent. Because if the goal is to win a championship, do you see the teams right now that are competing for a championship, what they look like?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, but we all know. Show of hands. How many people on this show thought that Julius Randle is, you know, the superstar on a championship caliber team?
No, nobody
felt like that.
No one felt like that.
But I will tell you this. I thought he'd be better in this series. I am really disappointed in what he's performed like in this series.
No, you thought he'd be better, Dave, but you understand why he's struggling. It's because he doesn't have a point guard that you would have in your starting lineup consistently that you feel like can be a difference maker, somebody that can take the pressure off him, somebody that can take some of the focus of the Hawks' defense off of him. And you just don't have that. Like, the Hawks coming into this series, their number one job, as a team, they were saying, we're going to take away Julius Randle from the Knicks. And if we do that on the defensive side of the court, then we've got a really good chance of winning that series. And they've executed that game plan to a T. I mean, they've won three of the first four games in this series. And, you know, all of us who picked the Knicks coming into this series can't see this series getting to a game seven. That's how good the Hawks have been at being able to defend Julius Randle. So we recognize that the Knicks have some serious talent deficiencies, and that is probably why Julius is struggling. Like, the intensity, the defense, the compete level, all of that goes up a notch once you get to the playoffs. And the Knicks, because they don't have the requisite talent that it takes to win in the postseason, that's why Julius Randle is struggling right now. I understand it. It makes sense to me. But I'm not going to sit here and say that Julius Randle isn't the guy that we saw during the regular season because he struggled in the playoffs. That's unfair.
But he's not the same guy.
No, he hasn't been. I mean, that's some of him. That's absolutely some of him. I think a lot of it, too, is how Atlanta's defended him and the fact that there hasn't been, I mean, there's really no consistent threats on the New York Knicks right now. I mean, he had a game, yeah, I mean, game four, Reggie Bullock scored 0 points. You know what I mean? Like, that's a guy you need to be a threat to make shots. Otherwise, I mean,
before they put Derrick Rose in the starting lineup, the Knicks were playing 3-on-5 on offense. That's what it was.
Which they've been doing for most of the season.
Yeah, but that's my point, though, Rico. When you get to the playoffs, because teams are actually paying attention, because teams are playing defense, because they're game planning for you, and they have multiple days in between games sometimes, like they're going to be buttoned up when it comes to slowing down your number one threat, which is why I don't think Julius Randle has been the same guy. Like, I actually understand why he's struggling right now. When you don't have a point guard to be able to orchestrate the offense and somebody that can be a threat to break down the defense and create opportunities for your star, it's going to be a little bit of a slog, and that's what it's been for Julius Randle.
Very difficult. Let's go to some calls, 800-919-3776. Kamani in Babylon. Kamani, you're on 98.7 ESPN.
Hey, good morning, guys. I can't agree with you more, Chris. I feel the same thing. I mean, I believe Julius should get the whatever the max is, 4 years, 106 you guys are talking about. I think the problem is like you said, you guys, he has no help. He dribbles in. Unfortunately, they're triple-teaming him. So he kicks it out to Bullock. He kicks it out to R.J. Barrett, and they're missing. They were making 40% during the season. If they make those shots, those triple teams that collapse on Julius may not be there, and he has a better move to the basket because it's less congested. I'm also annoyed, too, because he's it seems like he has lost confidence in his shot. I'm sitting at home with my boys, and I'm yelling at the TV, just shoot the ball. Stop driving, because every time he drives, he's not as fast as Trae Young to blow by anybody. You know, just shoot the ball. He drives into the double team or the triple team. He kicks it out to Bullock. They miss. Everybody goes back. So it's just a snowball effect of everybody just not looking good. But I don't discount what he did in the regular season. I think he's definitely a star, and we definitely need somebody to go with him to help ease that pressure that he's getting in the playoffs.
Here's what's amazing, though, to me, is that you just agreed with me that no one thought that Julius Randle was a superstar, right?
Correct.
Like on a really good team, he's probably, you know, your second option. On a great team, maybe he ends up being your third option, right?
Mm-hmm.
But there's been times where the best player in basketball, the guy who won the MVP, has been shut down in the postseason. Right? Giannis has been shut down let's build the wall, we'll shut down Giannis.
Yeah, we destroyed him.
What level is Giannis at compared to Julius Randle?
50 times better.
Okay, it happens.
We savagely destroyed Giannis when he was that bad.
Because Giannis is supposed to be a superstar. He's the MVP. Julius Randle was most improved player. He wasn't the MVP. He's not considered one of the best players in basketball. Mortified that he's struggling. This is when you get exposed, Dave. The postseason is when you get exposed. All the things you don't do well, that gets exposed in the postseason. Because that's what the focus of these teams is. Make him do what he doesn't do well. And right now, that caller's right. During the regular season, all we talked about was where their three-point shooting started and where it ended up by the end of the season, right? Wasn't that one of the conversations we were having?
Yeah, it was great by the end of the year.
Yeah, that was 40%. So now you're shooting at 32%. It's like, okay, well, you kick the ball out. Let's say you make the shots first. You start making the shots, then we'll respect the three.
Well, let's be fair. The Knicks are being exposed in this postseason.
Yeah, that's clear.
They're being exposed.
But yeah, because, again, you're forced to make a decision now. Because you don't really have any great options outside of Derrick Rose, you got to make a decision. Our biggest strength during the regular season has been our bench. But now because Alfred Payton hasn't played well and our starters can't get it going because Julius Randle can't hit shots and we're trying to get him going and someone needs to score, is we're going to have to rob Peter to pay Paul. So now we insert Derrick Rose into the starting lineup.
And now your bench isn't as good as it was.
And now your bench isn't as good.
Yep. Tonight on MSG Network, Knicks return to the Garden in a must-win Game 5 against the Hawks. Watch Game 5 live tonight, 7:30 on MSG Network, or stream it on MSG Go and download the free-to-play MSG Network's Pick'em app for a chance to win a huge jackpot. You know, the Mets are only on YouTube today.
Yeah, I hate it.
I hate that.
Hate it. I mean,
It on your TV. I mean,
it's too much work.
To take steps now to watch the Mets game?
It's too much work. And I'm giving them everything I got, too, with these West Coast games. Everything. Every ounce and energy I got, I'm giving
night?
To them. And I got to watch them blow. And then here's the best part of that game, too, is McCann hits the double, and now all of a sudden he's standing on second base with no outs. Can we just tack on more run, tack on a little bit?
Of course not. Blew a 4-0 lead to Arizona.
And Stroman was rolling through that game. Now all of a sudden we gotta get into a little fracas.
Mm-hmm.
And you gotta wake up Arizona.
Who was dead. Who probably were ready for their dinner reservations after that game.
Nope. We're gonna win it in extras.
You woke them up. And you see what happened. Let's go to Andre in Westchester. Good morning, Andre.
Good morning, gentlemen. How are you doing? Chris, this is Dre from IG. Salute to you, brother.
My man.
Yeah, my question, first of all, Tiz been playing with a bad poker hand all year. Just saying, okay, you're going to have to catch me when you can, bluffing. He got exposed. It's called tape. They played 7-game series. Atlanta exposed him down to the core. The concern with Julius Randle in my book is more, is this guy this year the improved player, or are we going to get the average that we have seen the previous years around? What does it boil down to? Secondly, will make more of the respect for Derrick Rose treatment after the season is in the ears and eyes of most players, from what I've heard in the circle, NBA circle, than it is of Julius Randle, who many feel is not good off the ball. I'd like to hear your opinion on that.
Well, here's the thing, Dre. I mean, Julius Randle is not a point guard. He's your power forward. He's a guy that, in a perfect world, you would have a point guard being able to get into the offense, get into the sets, and get him the ball in his spots where he can do damage. Like, you don't want the offense to have to run through Julius Randle. You want somebody else to run your offense for you, and the Knicks just don't have that guy. And as great as Derrick Rose has been coming off of the bench, Derrick Rose is going to have some limitations moving forward. Derrick Rose, in a perfect world, is probably only good for 25, 30 minutes a game. So, I mean, it just seems like you would want to bring in a point guard that can be a difference maker, somebody that's a little more dynamic, because that's going to make things a lot easier for Julius Randle. So, in terms of the strides that he's made this year, I trust that. I feel like you see that from players that are on the fringe with Tibbs all the time. Like, guys, once they get under his tutelage, like, they take that next step in terms of their development. I believe that Julius Randle will continue to be an all-star caliber player moving forward. But in order for this Knicks team to get to the point where they're competing and winning playoff series, you got to add to your backcourt this offseason.
You need a point guard, desperately, and it's never been more obvious than it is right now.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I don't wake up at 4 a.m. to wear a swim shirt.
Looking for more access to the show? Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at DCR on ESPN.
Rick, is it fair to say that Stump Rothenberg is a top three favorite segment for you?
Yes.
It's coming your way in 9 minutes from right now.
I can't wait.
Outstanding.
It's going to be tough to wait 9 minutes.
Outstanding.
You big tease.
9 minutes. It's not the end of the world. Phone lines lighting up for Stump Rothenberg. What?
It's a long time to wait.
Especially when you really want it.
Oh, you can wait.
When you really want it.
What do I look like, Sting? I can't wait 9 minutes.
You want it. Let me give it to you properly. Yeah.
Yes, please, now.
Some breathing exercises. Just slow.
I'll give it to you whenever you want it.
The Lamaze version of Stump Rothenberg. Just in and out. Nice and slow.
All that goes out the window. You know this. All the training right out the window.
Right? At the first contraction?
I was good at that, though. Timing the contractions, like telling her when it was going to end, like start and when it was going to end.
Take it!
But once you get hours in, it's like, dude, can you just be quiet, please?
Get the epidural.
You're not the one dealing with this.
You don't have to be a hero. Just get the epidural.
Yeah, but I mean, it's... that's... She thought initially, like, going in to the first one.
Does the epidural really make that much of a difference?
Yes.
All the difference. All the difference.
Yeah.
You should have seen the smile on her face the second she got it.
Mm.
And then she became like Chatty Cathy, where she wouldn't shut up. She's talking to the doctor. Dude, the doctor comes in to give the epidural with Milo, right? And this has been hours, like, she's in, like, just tons of pain. And finally, she's like, the cart comes by, and she's like, yep, I'll take one of those, please. And she got it. The second she got it, like, all of a sudden, mood completely changes. She's not in pain anymore. And now she just wants to talk to everybody. So she actually, like, the guy's trying to leave, and she, like, stops him. And I forget what he said. And I'm kind of, like, sitting in the corner, like, with my hat down. And I don't know if he's talking about, like, his kid playing hockey or something like that. And he said, like, you know, do you play hockey? And didn't say anything. And she's like, does he play hockey? And then she gets into, like, the whole thing. Like, what are you doing right now?
He was the number one draft pick. And,
Like, she's talking, he was on the Islanders. I'm like, what are you doing right now? This is not, why are you doing this? And it was for like a half hour. She's just talking a mile a minute.
Yeah, but you have to just chalk it up to the fact that she's taking another human being out of her body.
Oh, yeah. And then I saw that. I got a live
right?
look at that one.
Oh,
yeah. You never forget that.
Never forget it.
I saw ribs. I saw everything.
Ugh. But you can't, like, it's like, going in, you're like, I'm not going to do it. And then when the doctor's like, oh, look.
It's like an eclipse.
Yeah, the baby's crowning. You can see the hair. Why don't you take a peek, Dad? And I'm like, do I really want to take a peek? And then you look, and it's like, you can't take your eyes off it.
Yeah. I got yelled at because we had the C-section. So she's, I mean, gore and guts and everything.
Yeah, that's like, rough one, the C-section.
Do you want to stand up and look over the little sheet and see the baby coming out? I'm like, absolutely. So I did. And then I'm watching and watching and watching, and he's like, all right, Dad, you can sit back down now. I was like, but I want to know. You can sit back down now.
Yeah, you don't want to see organs coming out and everything else.
Yeah, uh-oh. I feel like you got to stay north of the equator when that's happening.
Natural, you can't. In natural, it's impossible. Like, you can't do it. It's almost impossible. No, it's almost impossible.
Like that kind of party?
Like, the legs are everywhere. It's like, it's just, there's no way to evolve.
Legs are everywhere. As like if everywhere. More than two legs.
You know what, Dave, the craziest
like
part for me, though, was
everywhere.
No, like, it's, I walk in, like, you know how, like, when they have the C-section, right? Like, they take her in, they get her ready, and then they kind of bring you in afterwards?
Mm-hmm.
Like, and I walked in, and I've had, like, a 100 different surgeries, but that's me. Like, I can deal with it, but, like, you know, they got them, like arms kind of, like, you know, on like, the cross, and they got, like, the, you know, everything's all hooked up. And I'm, like, I'm a nervous wreck, and I'm sitting there, and it's, like, they're like, talking about, like, do we have, you know, how many sponges they have to make sure, like, nothing's left inside. And it's, like, no big deal for them. Like, not, like, the guy who's doing the...
Well, it's not.
But dude, like in that moment, it's like, can you just like pretend like you're gonna like?
Well, for you, it is. But do you want them to be freaking out? No, you're
not freaking out.
Cool and calm and collected.
No, not freaking out. But I don't want the anesthesiologist asking me if he wants. Hey, you need me to take pictures and do some videos? I'm like, what? No, no, I don't. Like, you focus on doing the anesthesia. I don't need you
running around
taking film.
You know, the highest malpractice rates go to the anesthesiologist.
They get paid tons of money.
They get paid a lot of money.
Because if they mess up, that's very bad. Very, very bad. Let's go to Steve in Woodland Park. Good morning, Steve. You're on 98.7 ESPN.
Hey, good morning, guys. Childbirth is the most beautifully disgusting thing I've ever experienced in my life, and I've done it three times. So
yeah, but Steve, you go to a different place, though, Steve, don't you?
Yeah, I actually fainted during my son's birth. That was my first one.
Oh, no.
Some years ago. I actually fainted the first time. My two daughters after that, I was a little better, but that first time, oh, man, it was quite a sight.
Your wife is giving birth?
That happened to Such, Dave. Such was the same thing. They had to do Such needed medical attention while his wife was giving birth.
So, Steve, your wife is giving birth. You go down like Buster Douglas, and now they have to tend to you?
Yeah, I just got a little busy. I got really lightheaded, and I had to sit down. and she's sitting there screaming with you know, my son's head coming out of her, you know, her body, and I fainted. So.
All right, Steve, let's move it along. What do you got on Julius Randle?
All right. So pretty much what I thought Cat, Carl Anthony Towns from Minnesota was free agent, but I was corrected. What do you guys think of a sign and trade? Trading Randle, swapping for Carl Anthony Towns, especially if we compare him with, you know, a free agent like a Chris Paul or a Kawhi Leonard. Do you think Cat would be an upgrade from Julius Randle?
Does Cat want to play for Tibbs?
Yeah, that's the other thing. But you're still struggling. I mean, I don't know. Like, you're still dealing with the same issues, though.
He's from Jersey.
Well, yeah, it doesn't matter, though. I mean, if he doesn't like the head coach, like if he doesn't like, you know, playing for the head coach, that doesn't. I don't care where he's from. I don't think that's a good fit. I mean, even if you get Carl Anthony Towns and Kawhi Leonard, you're still dealing with the same issue not having a point guard. Right? That's still an issue with this team. I mean, now one of the reasons why, I mean, listen, the Clippers had Paul George and Kawhi Leonard, right? They had a disappointing postseason last season. They blew a 3-1 lead. So what did they do? They got Rajon Rondo. Like, they realized they needed
a point guard. And do I like Towns better than Randle? Probably. But you're still moving from a power forward to a power forward, and you still need a point guard.
Look what the Knicks are doing right now. I mean, in all honesty, just take a step back and take fandom out of it for a second. You're the 4 seed. I get it. You earned it. Like, you had an unbelievable regular season. Be honest with yourself. Looking at the Knicks starting five right now, how many of the starting five are starting on a postseason playoff NBA team?
One. Just
Randle,
one team.
That's it.
Just one.
And Randle in the past has not even been a starter on good teams.
No.
Okay. So, I mean, this is what we're talking about.
But that's what I said to start the postseason. Everybody yelled at me, and Carlin comes out.
I didn't yell
this.
At you.
Not you, but so many people did. If they don't, what a massive disappointment to lose to Atlanta. Atlanta's a more talented, substantially so, a more talented team than the Knicks are.
Yeah, because they lose sight of the fact that the regular season is completely different than what happens in the postseason. Game planning, level of intensity. Like, it's completely different. Like, they're like the... You guys love the NFL. Chris played in the NFL. Look at the difference. Like, look at, you know, teams going through a regular season. Like, Green Bay running through the regular season. They're 13-3, right?
They get mauled in the playoffs.
And they get mauled in the playoffs because it's the job of the other team to expose what they don't do well. And then when you get a matchup, and here's the other thing, though, too. Like, let's not pretend like this Knicks team, as good defensively as they've been all season long, one of the best in the NBA, they struggle with point guards like Trae Young.
Yep.
Because, I mean, they don't have, like... Especially now with Derrick Rose in the starting rotation. The problem with the Knicks right now is they're not taking advantage of the times that Trae Young's off the floor. Right? Like that's the time you need to go to work. And they haven't been able to do that.
Not at all. Let's go to Quick in the Bronx. Good morning, Quick.
Hey, morning, guys. What's going on? Love y'all, man. Love the show.
Well, we love you. Okay, thanks for making the call. Thanks for chiming in. The floor is yours.
I got two quick comments. Okay, the first one is, you know, Julius Randle was playing point forward during the year, so that's kind of Tibbs' fault. He shouldn't have been playing point forward. and he does need help. But if he's shooting 25%, let's get rebounds, let's play more defense, let's pass the ball a little more. That's what I'm saying.
To who?
That's the issue. To who? To who's he passing the ball to?
Where do you want the ball to go? Outside of Derrick Rose, who do you have confidence in on this team right now to put the ball in the basket?
Outside of Derrick Rose.
Do you honestly think, though, here's the thing. Do you honestly think that in a perfect world, do you think that, Tibbs wants Julius Randle to have as much responsibility as Julius Randle has right now?
No, no chance. There's no chance, but he doesn't have any choice. Like, I mean, you don't have a whole lot of guys out there that are playmakers. You don't have a whole lot of guys that can create their opportunities and create for others. Julius Randle is one of the few that you do have, so you're overly reliant on him, especially on the offensive side of the court. And during the broadcast in Game 4, Doris Burke talked about it. Like, the Knicks struggle in the half-court offense in terms of being able to find good shots. They just do. And when the defense from the Hawks is giving Julius Randle all of their attention, there aren't a whole lot of other guys that can step up and make things happen. So that's where Tibbs is, and there aren't a whole lot of good solutions when you look at the personnel that the Knicks have on their roster.
And it doesn't help that Nerlens Noel is banged up either.
No.
Like, no. This would be a series where you could use Mitchell Robinson.
Desperately. And Gibson's played well. But
no, but Gibson plays well, but it's like you have Nerlens Noel, who, I mean, he's what he's done blocking shots this season is all he made. It's incredible. But, and Taj Gibson's kind of more like the physical, you know, sets good screens, can rebound. But it's like one or the other has to be on the floor as opposed to getting like both of those players combined in Mitchell Robinson.
Yeah, Mitchell Robinson being a guy you could use in pick and roll, and he can be a rim runner when he's diving to the basket.
He's more athletic.
Yeah, you can just throw it up to him. Yeah, yeah. I mean, Mitchell Robinson kind of in the role that the Atlanta Hawks use Clint Capella in and what he does for Trae Young. Like, you could have some of those elements for your point guard, but because he's not here, you don't have that option. And Nerlens Noel is banged up. Taj Gibson, as great as he's played, I mean, he's a bench player. And on a good team, he's probably not getting off the bench. But that's where the Knicks are at right now. They don't have enough to be able to compete against a team like Atlanta that's flush with talent.
Talent-wise, it's not even close. All right, here we go. There's a sponsor. There's an open. It's very fancy. It is now time.
He's confident.
I have so much knowledge.
He's arrogant.
I'm a big star, you know.
He's unstable.
I'm crazy.
He's Dave Rothenberg.
You don't think I'm smart?
And now it's time to see if you can stump Rothenberg.
Stump Rothenberg brought to you by BetMGM Sports. 800-919-3776. Let's bring the callers in. We always start with Andy in Merrick. Good morning, Andy.
Good morning, DCR. I am doing great. Thanks for not asking, Dave.
Very
with
cute,
the Yankees finally getting past the Tampa Bay Rays, it got me thinking about that Tampa organization.
Mm-hmm.
So my question to you is, who is the Tampa Rays franchise all-time leading hits leader?
It's got to be Carl Crawford. That's final answer.
And you are correct.
Yeah. Wow.
He's correct.
I would say Longoria is probably number two after Carl Crawford. And there you go.
Wow.
That's 1-0. All right, you feel good about that?
I feel real good about that.
Yeah,
that was quick. No time to Google it. I like
no,
it.
Stop it.
Like
stop
that kind of party.
Googling, would you? You're going to make me put an end to Stump Rothenberg and the entire
nation.
No,
you have to take
weep.
An end. You're talking with Ty about taking this thing on tour.
It could go on tour.
So you could participate in RJ's wedding since I'm doing the ceremony. Maybe we add that as an element.
Stump Rothenberg in the corner.
Like a little side tent for you.
Like a sideshow. Like
yes.
You can go to the wedding and watch Rick perform it, or at the very same time, you could go watch a live edition of Stump Rothenberg here.
Yeah, it was as we do like the pass around hors d'oeuvres, you know what I mean? Like you're in the corner.
Sure. Give me that.
Kind of like Wedding Crashers when Vince Vaughn is making the balloon animals.
All right. Rick, are you playing today? You're always playing.
Yeah, why are you asking me questions like that?
I know you're playing. Go ahead. What's your question?
Oh, you're going to love this question. Very topical.
All right.
So in order... screwed it up already. In honor... Not uh-huh. In order. In honor of James Harden's 34-point triple-double last night, got me to thinking, Who has the record for most triple doubles in a playoff run? Not ever. In one playoff run, who has the most triple doubles?
Oh. Aminu Muhammad, baby.
No.
Is it Aminu Muhammad?
Mm-mm. Close.
No. So it's one season, most triple doubles. I don't know. I mean, Magic.
Is this somebody from yesteryear, Rico?
Yeah, I mean, this is not a current player, no.
Okay, yeah. I think you're going in the right direction, Dave.
You think Magic is the guy? Wilt Chamberlain? These are
If I were throwing a guess out there, I would say Magic.
The late Magic Johnson, Dave?
Yes. The late Magic?
Nobody had any idea that Magic was going to die.
Well. All right, I'm gonna go with Wilt the Stilt.
Dave Rothenberg is correct.
Yes, that is correct.
Yes.
Nicely done, Dave.
That's 2-0, and away we go. All right, Chris, are you playing today or no?
No, I'm not playing.
All right, let's go to the calls. Let's go to Shep in Bethpage. Good morning, Shep. At 2-0, you're on Stump Rothenberg.
Good morning. Among baseball players who had their whole career in the 20th century, there are only two who were named to the All-Star game more than 10 years and are not in the Hall of Fame. One of them is Pete Rose. Who is the other?
Oof. So not in the Hall of Fame. Not Andrew Jones.
I don't know why Andrew Jones doesn't get more respect for the Hall of Fame.
I wonder if it's Andrew Jones. Alex Rodriguez. No, was there something about the 20th century? Like, it could be A-Rod, right? That's a guy that it could be.
Yes. It has to be A-Rod.
How about Ivan Rodriguez, though?
Pudge Rodriguez is in the Hall of Fame.
Is he in the Hall?
Yeah.
All right. Then my only is how many did Andrew Jones go to?
Manny Ramirez?
I wonder if there's more than, well, because it's got to be A-Rod. A-Rod has been to more than 10 All-Star games. I'll say Alex Rodriguez, but I think there might be more than one answer. But that's what I'm going with, A-Rod.
No, I said whole career in the 20th century. So that's incorrect.
All right, so whole career in the 20th century.
So the answer is.
Hang on a second.
Well, hold on, because you confused them.
Boy, I don't know now. Because you confused him. Randy Johnson's in the Hall, isn't he? I don't think I know the answer to this. I will guess. I don't know.
So what is this? The player retired? This player would
retire
have to retire
before 2000 is what you're saying, right?
Right.
So it can't be Andrew Jones. Wade Boggs in the Hall, right? I don't know. Dave Winfield, but I think he's in the Hall of Fame.
The correct answer is Detroit Tigers catcher Bill Freehan.
Oh my goodness! I'm glad I took as much time.
Dave
as I
never
did.
Has a free hand.
No. I, you know what? To be honest with you, have you ever heard of him?
No.
Bill Freehand. All right, let's move right along. Great question. Let's go to Sky in Roselle. Good morning, Sky.
Good morning. I have a baseball question, please.
All right.
Who were the first two switch hitters to hit home runs in the same game?
Give this to me again.
Who were the first two switch hitters to
the
hit
first
home
two?
Runs on both sides of the plate? Yeah. The first two switch hitters to hit a home run from both sides of the plate in the same game.
both sides of the plate. Mickey Mantle. Eddie Murray. I think Eddie Murray is probably the answer. But I'm going to say...
How far back are we going here?
Teammates. Teammates.
They were teammates.
A home run from both sides of the plates in the same game.
So
they're on the same team.
They're in the. I understand what teammates mean. So are we going to... So I'm gonna go with Mantle. Would be guess number one. Is that right?
Wrong.
All right.
I think you misunderstand the question, Dave.
What's the question?
I think the question now, Sky. Let me ask you: is this which of the first two teammates to do it in the same game?
Yes.
Oh, see, he's saying the same game, Dave.
So teammates hit home runs in the same game from both sides of the plate.
Yes. Both sides of the plate.
So that's a minimum of four home runs hit in that specific game. Right?
Yes.
Oh, no, I have no idea. I can't even think of a second one. I'll say Eddie Murray and I don't know. I don't have the answer for you.
Bernie Williams and Posada.
Oh, all right.
That's a layup for you, Dave.
That's not a layup. I didn't know it.
No, he got y'all twisted.
You know what? If we need to decipher the question because we don't understand it, is it really a great question?
That's a fair point, Dave.
I mean, for God's sake.
I refuse to answer that question.
Teammates. Sal and Dutchess.
Will not disparage Sky. Won't do it.
Good morning. Good morning, Sal.
Good morning, DCR. I'm going to switch it up a little bit. Go to a college football.
Okay. Right?
Who's... Okay. Go ahead, Rick. Get that button ready because he's going to need it.
Okay.
Who's the only Alabama quarterback to start opening day in the NFL?
To start opening day in the NFL? What does that mean? Like week one, this Alabama quarterback started in the NFL?
Week one, yeah. He started opening day in the NFL. I could give you the year. I could give you the team. You tell me what you want. Go ahead, Rick. Push that button, buddy. If I give you the year, I know you'll get it.
The year
is 2006. That's the year. If I give you the year, I know you'll get it. Mr. Canty might know that. It's around his time.
2006. You're telling me that Joe Namath never started a season as a quarterback? What kind? I mean, I don't understand this question.
No, he started. Yeah, he started opening day. Opening day. This is the only quarterback for Alabama that started opening day. Like he got drafted in 2005. He started it or 2006. I'll give you the team. It was Kansas City. I never heard of this guy's last name. I heard of his first name. I never heard of his last name.
Talking about Brody Croyle?
You got it.
You're telling me that Brody Croyle is the only Alabama quarterback to ever start in the NFL in week one?
Let's check on Joe Namath.
I'll check Joe Namath
right now.
I find that very hard to believe. I think I'd like to ban Sal with your guys' permission.
No.
If I give you the year, I know you'll get it.
You can't ban Sal. Stop.
He literally gave you every hint under the sun.
It's a terrible question.
He did everything but say, it's Brody Croyle, guys. Do you know who it was?
It's an awful question. Might be the worst question in the history of this. Should we take one more? RJ, can we, or do we have to
But he gave you the year and everything.
Yes, gave you the year. I don't know what else you want from. Yeah, do one more.
Oh, no. No, good question. Joe Namath did not start week one. He started week two.
Hmm.
There's no way.
14-10 loss. I'm looking at it right now. 1965. I'm looking at it right now. Game two.
Rick in Sunnyside. Good morning, Rick.
Hey, how are you, Dave? Here's my question. Who was the last 20-game winner with less than 100 strikeouts in the same season?
Ooh.
That's a good question.
That's a great question.
Yeah, it hasn't happened very often, but it's in our lifetime, Dave.
Less than 100 strikeouts. Gonna have
how many strikeouts did Dickey have?
He had a lot more than 100. No?
No, I'm just throwing it out there. I don't know.
There's like a Bob Porter, but I don't know. I mean, is this someone that anyone knows of?
Yeah, it's a name that if you're a baseball fan, you'd recognize. But if you're a casual fan, no.
All right, so I think Tommy John might have done it. But you're looking for what, the most recent?
Yeah, the most recent 20-game winner with less than 100 strikeouts in the season.
Did Bill Gullickson ever do it?
Wow, man. Very good, Dave. Nice
That's
job.
That's the answer?
That is correct.
There we go. I think Tommy John also did it.
Totally redeem yourself. Totally redeem.
Can I get a little credit for that?
Totally redeem yourself.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I have nothing left.
Hear more of DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play ESPN New York 98.7.